Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of This Black Girl Podcast. It is your host, Ola.Miss.Lola, aka Lola, and Ola Miss Lola without the H. Y'all already know. And welcome to another week. I'm joined by the lovely Mr.
Hello, hello,
aka Pretentiously Crass. And I hope you guys have been enjoying the past few episodes. I've been having a blast, not only just chit-chatting here with my lovely mister, but, you know, getting to talk to and meet other wonderful Black people, Black creatives, and exploring different concepts with them and having different industries. Shout outs to our last episode featuring Finance for the Culture, aka Shay. She was lovely. Again, also shout outs to Sininrello and to Wan. They were on a joint that was called 92 Barcelona. It's fire. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. It's out now on all streaming platforms and on YouTube. But yeah, it's been great talking with them and kind of now shifting back to our more normal ranges of conversation, which comes to the unfortunate reality right now. We currently can't afford no house.
Nope.
Yeah, so this kind of was like a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a heated conversation, because thankfully I like to think that we don't argue, we have passionate conversations. But it got a little passionate this, like, earlier in the day. So we're like, you know what, let's just talk about it. Let's get it out. Because I'm sure we're not the only ones going through this. If you live anywhere in North America, and when I say North America, I want to be, like, probably United States and Canada, especially in, like, major cities, it is almost impossible to afford homes anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much in every single major city, but especially for us here in Canada, Toronto and BC, shout outs.
Right.
Literally some of the most inflationary land has been in the entire world for the past few years has been these two cities.
Well, because the wild thing to me is, like, when homes started hitting $1 million, my question was, A, how are people affording it? B, like, why am I paying $1 million for a shack? Like, there's so many times you go online and you see, like, meme posts of literally no bedroom, a bathroom is, like, literally a bucket in a corner, and, like, a burner plugged into the wall, and they're like, no kitchen, one bathroom, $1.1 million. But, like, low-key is the reality?
Gosh.
I hate it.
I also hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Like, we're fortunate enough to have, we're renting. I'm not even gonna flex and act like, oh, we own our house. We do not own our home. But we're fortunate enough to be renting a home, and it's, like, manageable.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of places nowadays, the average rent in the city of Toronto is over $2,000. And that, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, and it really sucks too, because it's like, I was just watching a video, a little short video on YouTube this morning, yeah. And they were talking about how, I don't know how it is in Canada, but at least in the States, like, mm-hmm. something like 30% of people that make more than $250,000 a year mm-hmm. are still living paycheck to paycheck.
Bro.
And it's overrepresented by, like, millennials.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's like 55% of the 30% of people who make more than $250,000
right.
and are still living paycheck, and a lot of it is because it's young millennials in, like, tech cities, which is exactly the issue here, right? It's
okay.
Like, you could be making tons and tons of money, but the cost of living in these cities just keeps
or
on climbing.
Because I was saying to myself, shout outs to them, at least they're making a lot of money. But then if everything costs a lot of money,
yep.
then it means nothing.
Yep.
You know?
And I remember a few years ago, I was working with somebody where we were getting on talking about housing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we here in the film industry make pretty good money. And I don't want to necessarily divulge how much my friend was making.
Right.
But I'll definitely say that, like, they're in the top percentages of income here.
Yeah.
I think you need something like 70 to 80,000 solo to make it to the top 20% of incomes in Ontario. And this girl was clearing that. And she's nowhere close to buying a home.
Oh,
and
I know, like, what you're talking about. Yeah.
The question to me is just, like, how much more do these kind of people, like, including these people we're talking about who are making obscene amounts of money, like $250,000 a year, $250,000 a year is a crazy amount of money you're making.
Yeah. And to think that, like, in certain spaces, you can't afford to live.
How much more do you need to succeed to live comfortably by the place that you work? Like, that's the crazy part. It's like,
right.
You're making literally, like, quadruple.
Quintuple.
Quintuple the medium income for like, your state or whatever in the States.
For the fucking country, bro.
But
you can't, and you're still living paycheck to paycheck.
But you're still living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, because, like, I go back to the root of housing because, yes, I know gas is fucking expensive as shit, okay? Gas is expensive in the U.S. It's expensive here. Groceries are starting to get obscenely expensive, too. And, like, I'm seeing TikToks and posts every other day about being like, look what I bought at the grocery store for $70. And it was, like, 5 items. And I was like, what?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be... that's going to be even worse in the future because a lot of these costs have not caught up to us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A lot of these, like, farmers and stuff are paying extra and they're going to have to pay... put those costs forward somewhere. It's going to be all the consumers.
Yes.
There's nothing they can do about that.
That was a great video. I sent him a video of a farmer who is literally just saying, like, hey, guys, you think groceries are expensive now? Think about it. If we have to be paying 4 times the cost to just feed these animals, imagine how much your cost then is going to, how much is going to translate into your cost for purchasing.
Yeah.
And they were saying that expect, like, beef and chicken to be, like, almost $20-$25 a pound. Like, imagine, like, expensive, like, cuts of meat, but for, like, basic cuts.
Yeah.
And, like, drumsticks that are, like, what, $6 a pack at the store is going to be, like, what, $18?
We're going to be cooking a lot of Indian food to make sure we can get all that tofu that we're going to be buying.
Well, it doesn't have to be Indian food. It can be all types of food. There's options. But, like, I get your vibe, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, it's scary. It's scary to think that, like, okay, and this is the part where capitalism fails us. When people are constantly hoarding wealth and it keeps funneling into one spot, to the point that, like, most people are destitute, where are we going to be left? Because the rich will absorb all the money, and then what happens to everybody else? Because, like, people forget, like, that 99% is a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like, oh, you know, it's like this few, like, 1 in 5. That's not us. That's, like,
yeah,
literally 1 in, like,
you can't fill a stadium with billionaires. You just can't do it.
Yeah, you can barely fill a classroom.
Yeah,
with, you know, with billionaires. So it's just like the economy really needs to kind of make a shift. And I obviously can't sit here and convince billionaires to, like, you know, redistribute wealth, although it would be nice, because in my weird conspiratory brain, I think if you share your wealth, then people can afford to buy more. If people can afford to buy more, guess where they're gonna buy? They're gonna buy at the same spot that's redistributing.
Well,
and it'll,
yeah,
be a, you know, perpetual motion machine.
Let me teach you the fancy term that you would use if you were an economist. It's,
yes,
called velocity of money.
Ah.
The faster that money can change hands, right? Because,
yes,
that's the thing, when you got a bunch of money, you still only eat so much bread in a day.
Right.
You still only need to drive so much. You're only awake so many times in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you're Elon Musk playing Elden Ring, you only need to eat the same amount of pizza pops as anybody else.
Facts. It's like, and it's just, it's messed up because, like, everybody's trying to capitalize on just, like, taking as much money as possible. Like, even, okay, focusing back on just housing. What we were talking about earlier was the fact that people are talking about the housing market starting to, I guess, relent a little bit, in the sense that pricing for homes are starting to go down.
Well, yeah, in Canada especially, we're in this very precarious position for our listeners at home.
Yeah.
Where but this is the case in a lot of places where homes are expensive. Mm-hmm. There's a massive overhang. We have way more houses that are currently being held up for Airbnbs and to be rental properties than we do people who need homes.
Right.
So that's part of the problem with the market here, too, is once the market starts slipping and people realize that there's actually more supply than demand, the market falls out from underneath itself.
Well, in theory.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, now that the tide is slightly shifting, banks are the first ones right now trying to cover their ass. Because when the money started, you know, when homes started going up and becoming ridiculously expensive and, you know, breaking through 700,000, 800,000, now like past a million, the interest rates, the banks were like, oh, don't worry, it's fine. Our interest rate is, you know, 1-2%. You'll be okay. You can still afford your house, knowing that, like, well, 1-2% on $1 million is a lot of money. So the banks don't care. They're getting their money.
Yeah.
Right? But now that the pricing for homes are going down, the interest rate is going up so that the banks still meet their fucking quota.
Right.
Right? Because, like, if 2% was bringing them, I don't know, $5,000 a month per mortgage, 5% now has to equal that $5,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
But that increase in interest bumps up somebody's mortgage payment from, like, you know, $1,600 a month to, like, $2,000, $2,200, $2,300 a month. And some people are like, oh, well, that's not that bad. And it's like, in theory, it may not be, but if somebody doesn't budget or expect...
Well, no. Honestly, I do think it's that bad because, it is, like, a lot of people... We were literally just talking about people who are making $100,000 who are still house poor.
No, I know that, I'm just saying, in respect to the quote-unquote average rental prices in Toronto is $2,000. So somebody getting a mortgage of $2,000 now because of the interest rates may not sound bad to the average person renting. They'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's my rent anyways. But they don't realize that, like, if somebody's not budgeting for that type of huge increase or surge to something as important as their home, that's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's terrifying. Can you imagine being told, hey, guess what, $500 a month out of your asshole for the next duration of the next 3 to 5 years that you're locked into your mortgage for?
Yeah, and if not, we get the house.
Yeah, no home. That's terrifying.
You could be 80% done your mortgage and they still get the house at the end. It's ridiculous.
Right, and then guess what? Let's say it's the worst case scenario, you know, knock on wood, and you lose your home, you're gonna have to find rent that's, again, $2,000.
Yeah.
Which you already know you couldn't afford because your mortgage surged up that much and you couldn't afford it.
And that's part of the problem, too, is just because, like... Just because the price of housing is going down, like, the people who are first going to be able to intercept that are not people who need a home, it's speculators. Because that's already the problem around here. There's so many people who buy a second, third home so they can rent it out.
Right.
And that kind of speculation ultimately, like, it hurts the market. It raises the price of all the homes everywhere.
And it's frustrating because, like... Yes, we have international people that come and buy homes here just for that purpose of real estate to rent and stuff. And usually they'll work through a property management company who will come and maintain, photograph, get you tenants, get you your money, and you pay like a monthly fee and you're good. But there's also the scummy landlords who treat buying a property and renting it out as a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, well, I have this extra property or I can rent my basement, you know, put a door at the in the hallway and rent my basement for $2,500 and call it a day and do fucking nothing.
Yeah, and it's like the more that the price of rent goes up, the more and more it becomes like a viable option if you're a person who's lucky enough to have a home in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's... For sure. It's astonishing, like... what was it, a couple months ago, there was a guy who went viral for posting 3 beds in one room and renting the entire room, not in the entire room, but renting each bed $420 a month per bed.
Literally, you just get like a side table. It looks like you're in an infirmary.
Like actually, from the 1940s.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it looks like a World War II of infirmary.
Like literally, it was like three cots in a basement.
Yeah, and like a concrete room with some side tables.
I can't even call those side tables. They were like little like elementary school desks.
Yeah.
If you were lucky, it was despicable, and that person got roasted and flamed.
Yeah, and luckily illegal, because you can only
super
fit...
super illegal.
Yeah, you can only fit people in certain size space, but...
Yeah, you have to rent a room. A minimum that you can rent to somebody is a room, and the room has to be like 9 foot by 9 foot.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, and it's... there's regulations on it, yeah.
Like, the close... like, he would have gotten away with that if he had rented it as a hostel.
Yeah.
If it was a hostel, where you have shared rooms in hostels. That makes sense. But, like, the fact that you're trying to front that as, like, a living space... shared bathroom? You're next to...
bro, shared kitchen, shared everything.
Oh, bro, it makes my skin crawl. And I really strongly dislike those types of landlords. The get-rich-quick, shitty landlords who don't believe that, like, other people should have a decent quality of life.
I mean, you're nicer than me. I'm not a favor... I'm one of those people that think that just like being a landlord is a little bit of a moral position. At the end of the day, most people wouldn't choose to rent if they could just own a home. And that means that, like, and if that's the case,
yeah,
then it means your business kind of inherently leans on the exploitation that comes with the fear of homelessness.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have a bunch of your customer base. You wouldn't be able to charge the prices that you did. It's just that people don't want to be homeless. It's not that they want your service so bad.
Yeah.
They would prefer to own a home and not be homeless, not rent from you and not be homeless.
I mean, that's fair. I slightly disagree, because I've met a few people who say, like, I don't want the responsibilities that come with home ownership.
Yeah, I know there's a few.
You know, so they would prefer to rent.
Yeah.
Just because, if something breaks down, they call the landlord fixes.
Yeah, that's why I said most.
So, okay,
I said most people. I think that's true.
Yeah,
I definitely think most people would rather own a home than rent.
Well, I know we'd rather own a home than rent.
Most people I know would rather own a home than rent.
But yeah, I don't know, just because there's, like, a bit more liberties, like... Other red flags I've seen with landlords have been, like, you know when you see the posts that are, like, no guests after 11 o'clock?
Oh, yeah, that stuff's wild to me, too.
No pets, no kids. I had a landlord once tell me when I was looking, no kids.
Wow.
I was never pregnant at that time, but, like, can you imagine telling somebody you cannot have children if you so desire to, in order to live here?
Yeah, that's the stuff that's wild to me, because it's like when your parents get mad at you when you're young and they charge you rent to live at their house. It's like, okay, but if you're going to do that, there's a whole bunch of responsibilities on your end. And so many people, like we were saying, so many people are buying these homes just like speculate, or like knocking out rooms in their house to become rental properties. And they just like think they can do whatever they want, and they have no responsibilities towards their tenants. And they end up just getting into these weird, messy situations, like...
Yeah, for sure. Like, and it's not even knocking out rooms, it's building up rooms. I've seen somebody who turned their basement into 3 apartments.
Bro.
So that they can sell it for each one for, like, $1,000, $1,500. Something crazy like that.
Yeah, I've seen that for student housing and stuff too.
No, but it was like wild. 2-bedroom. It was like a 2-bedroom, a 1-bedroom, and I think maybe another 1-bedroom.
Oh.
Like, I don't want to be like, oh, he wasn't playing. But, like, this person wasn't playing. There was no living room. Okay? You literally... I will tell you my experience, because I was at one point apartment hunting years back. But, like, it was a basement apartment. You walk in, there's like a foyer, and you see like 3 doors, or I think 4 doors, because I think there's a door for storage. And you go through one of the doors, you open it, and it's the kitchen. And literally, it was a kitchen, dining room, table. That's it for living space. The next room had a bathroom. The next room had 2 bedrooms. And then they pretty much said everybody had to share the laundry. And it was coin laundry in somebody's house, okay?
Wow.
coin.
The stinginess is legendary.
I rate it though a little bit because
I can't.
My grandma, rest in peace, she had coin laundry in her flat. Shout outs to her. But here's the difference. Her flat was 3 stories. So it's like, you know, if that had
at least that way you go down, you gotta go up and down 2 flights of stairs, and then also have the insult of having to pay for your laundry inside your own damn home.
We do it here.
Not on 3 flights of stairs though.
Two. Okay, but I'm just saying. But yeah, coin laundry. It was more insulting because it was somebody's basement. At least give me the disgrace of going down a flight to a different level of the home, okay? Not the same fucking 2 walls over. But yeah, 1 bathroom, 2 bedrooms with, I can't remember if the floor was tiled or if it was laminate. But the main living area, the whole kitchen, dining room, was tiled.
Right.
There was no space for me to put a couch. Had no clue where I could put a TV if I wanted to. Literally, you were expected to eat, sleep, and bathe there.
Yeah, it's wild. It's like those, we were watching some videos about, like, people in, I think it was Korea, living in, like, tiny, tiny ass apartments.
Oh, I think it, yeah, oh, that was depressing.
That was
bro.
Depressing as fuck.
It made Toronto housing, well, not Toronto housing per se, but the Toronto rental market look glamorous.
Oh, yeah. It literally, like, when you watch this video, you're like, this is Blade Runner. This is dystopia. This is,
yeah, like,
this is future corporate hell. But, like, no, it's just Korea.
And the sadder thing about it was the fact that this guy was like, oh, well, this place is better than my last place. It at least has a small window so I can see light. And I was losing it on the inside.
Oh, yeah. It's so depressing, too, because the guy is saying, like, you know, just living in this shitty apartment, like, he feels like shit. He doesn't want to go out. He's not getting any social interactions. And so he ends up developing, like, a video game addiction, ends up putting himself even deeper in the hole so he can show off online.
No. That's how he ended up in those places.
I thought he started doing that because he was in those places.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That's how he got there. He got into so much debt that he couldn't afford to live anywhere, so he lived in these little homes. Like, literally, we always joke about, 350 square feet studio condos. They look like shoeboxes. I always talk about it, how people are buying shoeboxes here in Toronto. This man, if that was a shoebox, this man's living in a pinky toe box.
We're talking about like bathroom in the kitchen kind of situations.
I think he was lucky enough to have one of the quote unquote bigger rooms that had a shower.
Yeah,
so he can at least shower in his tiny room. But
like literally like his bed. He's laying in his bed and he can't stretch all the way out.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't be able to lay. I wouldn't be able to lay head to toe in that room.
Oh, neither could I.
Yeah,
neither could I. It was so pinched. Like, it was literally a tiny cot where he was sleeping, and it wasn't a full size bed. Next to it was a wardrobe, I think, that had his clothes. And then across from him, and when I say across, like, there was a clearing.
Literally, he could reach his arm across.
Yeah, like, he could reach his arm across and touch his desk.
Yeah.
And he was saying how he's happy because now he can fit a desk in his room, which would imply that his previous room didn't even have a desk. Just, ugh, it was so, and it just makes me feel bad because, like, he was paying
that's what? Somebody's like, life. That's somebody that's living.
Right?
Like,
that's somebody's life. And I think he was paying like $400 to live there.
The thing that's always wild to me is like, I'll, you know, even when I'll just like, you know, see someone in a car or someone on the street, and it'll be like, that's someone's child.
Yeah.
That's someone who like was raised by a mom and tried to go to school and make their mom proud and do everything right, and then ended up in this situation.
It's sad. Like, he's, and the thing is, I feel for him. Like, you can't help but just have like this kind of connection and like, I guess, empathy for him, because his intention is to live in this small, tiny little pinky toe box apartment in order to save enough money to pay off his debts, while also studying to have a better paying job so he can pay off all his debts faster, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's like you want him to succeed and get out of that. He was saying the last place he lived, it made him claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Because it was just so ridiculously tiny. And it just, I don't know, watching that made me so thankful that I'm like, thank God, at least our city has guidelines.
Yeah.
For what you can rent, because seeing this, if this could happen in Toronto, it would.
Oh, yeah.
It would.
100%. But that's just the kind of society we live in. It's the same thing with, like, when people are like, oh, we want less regulation on stuff. It's like, just go read about turn of the century Britain and how children were working in, like, chemical factories and stuff. And be like, you gave people no rules, that's what they would do.
It's fucked, bro. It's so messed up. Because... like, even that place, it was just all of these tiny little shoebox homes, and saying that they all had to share a bathroom. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even though he had his own little shower and sink situation, he had to share a toilet with the entire floor.
Yeah.
And the entire floor, okay?
Yeah.
So,
it's like at least 8 people, I think, is what he said, or something like that. It's like something 8 different apartments.
Yeah, something like that. And he was saying, like, if the toilet gets fucked, oh, well. If it gets clogged or damaged, oh well, it gets fixed when it gets fixed. So it's like you don't even have a space to use the washroom properly.
Yeah, it's not like the companies that own these facilities are exactly worried about their tenants.
Oh my gosh. It just honestly, it makes me wish that like we had the resources to develop like affordable housing.
I mean, we do, but the problem is it goes to the different people's pockets. You know what I mean?
No, I meant we.
Like, I understand we. I'm just saying that we as a society do. It's just, you know, it's a question of will and not means.
We as a society definitely do. We as a society definitely do, and they choose not to.
Yeah.
Because they'd rather profit than have people live comfortably.
Things get really depressing in society when you start trying to sort out, like, what's a question of will versus a question of means.
Yeah.
Like, we can't colonize the moon not because of a question of will. Most people would want to do it. It's a question of means. We don't know how to do it.
Right.
There's a lot of things like affordable housing that we know how to do. It's just that nobody wants to do it.
Well, they don't want to do it because they don't see how they profit from doing it. There was a guy, I forget his name, but he, like, shout outs to him. He was making installations that were, like, little, I don't even want to call them a shack, but, like, little small homes,
just like a wooden roof over your head to protect you from the rain,
residency or
a door you can lock,
right? Like small tiny homes for the homeless, and it was so sweet and everybody was supporting it, and the city shut him down.
Yeah.
And people were like, what the fuck, like, why would you do that?
It's because a lot of rich people live in that city and they don't want homeless people around there.
But it's just...
like, that's really what it comes down to.
But it's
really
here in our city.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just messed up.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
The same thing with, like, bro, when COVID hit, how many places were able to find money to set up, like, semi-permanent covering so that you could go eat at a restaurant, but couldn't be lift a finger to help out homeless people?
Of course. They'd rather lift the finger to go order those little spike guards you see near windowsills and certain bars and poles now. So that, like, homeless people can't sit there or sleep there or be comfortable.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's messed up. It's so... it just makes me feel so awkward.
Yeah, it's very sad.
I don't know. And it's, like... my other concern, though, with homelessness... not even homelessness, but with housing. Yeah. And just, like, the way things are going. My concern is people... and it's just an empathy thing, like... people who have bought homes for, like, you know, $800,000, $900,000, $1 million, thinking, oh, prices are going to do nothing but go up. I'm going to live here a couple years and then sell it and make a profit. Now, like, not now, but eventually now going to not only have to refinance and find out, guess what, your mortgage is actually... $2,600 instead of $2,000, or scarier than that, people who have $3,000-$4,000 plus mortgages, having that shit jump up by $1,000.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, I can't afford that. I guess it's time to sell, only to find out they're going to sell at a loss rather than at a profit.
Yeah. I mean, like, I definitely feel you, but, like, that's, again, like, the problem of that, the bed of that is still on speculators, and it's still ultimately on, like, the governments who decided to not intervene at all. Like, it's not like we're nobodies. We don't know nothing about the economy. We don't have any degrees. We don't have any studying, and even we can see this.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it's one of those things that's like, oh, this entirely predictable thing that we decided to do nothing about. Who would have guessed people would get hurt? And it's like, yeah, okay, thanks.
It's wild to me.
I mean, ultimately, the problem in this situation is, like, you know, one of the problems with society is that, like, the example that I've had told to me, and it's what I'll say here, is, like, we live in a society today under capitalism where if there is a shortage of milk and a bunch of children needed milk to survive and one rich person needed milk to make their cats happy, well, the rich person gets the milk and they get to make their cats happy.
Right. I mean, it's happening now. Friggin' baby formula. There's a shortage in the U.S.
I actually listened to that a little bit about that, too. You want to hear something very interesting about it?
Yeah.
So apparently, because the U.S. is weird, they don't have a federal system for this, but they have a state. They have a federal system that gives money to each state.
Right.
And each state gets to decide who their formula maker is to essentially hire for, like, food stamps or whatever.
Okay.
To who makes the formula, right?
Right.
And whoever they give the contract to immediately gets 80% of the market. It's basically a contract to get a monopoly.
Wow.
And you'll see that the shortages are the worst. And there's one company, I can't remember the name of it, who has, like, 35 of the 50-something contracts in the States.
Yeah, because that's where the shortage is with
Similar. And the shortages are the worst in the States. It's just like, you know, like, again, like, I'm not a huge fan of capitalism, but, like, where's the free market? If they actually wanted to diversify a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's also crazy about it, too, is that the situation, it's not even, like, it de facto, obviously, gives everybody cheaper formula, right? Because part of the market is essentially heavily subsidized.
Mm-hmm.
And it distorts the market to bring up the prices on everybody else because they can't meet the same sales.
Right.
So, like, the other formula becomes more expensive because this one company gets to do all of that.
Yeah, well, outside of it just being more expensive, it's because, like, for example, wholesalers, like, there was another story, I forget which state he was in, but shout outs to him. There was a wholesaler who noted that, like, there was a shortage and mothers were having issues getting formula for their kids, and he would buy it at a certain cost.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, his intention was just to sell it at cost. But then he decided, you know what? I'm just going to give it away.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
Yeah, and he ended up giving away, like, cases and cases of formula so that, like, because the reality is, like, why should mothers worry about how they're going to feed their kids?
It's literally saving babies.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things I also feel so, like, infuriated about, especially when I think about rich people. It's like, okay, you're Elon Musk and you have the opportunity to literally save little babies, and instead you sit on your hands.
Well, considering this whole, like, turning over Roe versus Wade, that should be your first priority.
Yeah.
Your first priority should be to save the babies.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right? I'm just saying that's the mantra.
I 100% agree with you, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, there are so many opportunities for someone to come in and just save the babies, and, like, and yet nothing could be done.
Yeah.
Like, God, I don't know, man. It feels weird.
And to the weirdos that are like, well, just breastfeed your baby. That's not always an option for people.
Yep.
Not everybody can breastfeed. Not every baby can latch. Not every baby can digest the milk properly. Sometimes they need specialty milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, breastfeeding just doesn't work. Sometimes there's other personal issues, physical issues that get in the way. Some babies were born to surrogates, so their actual mothers don't have the breast milk because they never went through the whole process of pregnancy. Like, those obtuse people that are saying, just breastfeed your baby. No, shut up. Shut up, shut up. Unless you plan on supplying the breast milk for the damn babies, shut up.
Bro, and the thing that I hate the most about it is they'll be like, oh, just do that. But then, like, when it comes down from them to be able to want to tut-tut you, it'll be all about, like, social contract. We live, like, the people want to get along. People want to do this, whatever. And it's like, bro, when literally, like, your baby is dying and no one lifts a finger to help you, you're expecting people to just come back and be like, yeah, but it's fine. Yeah, I'll follow the rules now. It's okay. Yeah,
fuck your rules.
Like...
like, it's actually absolute utter madness. Make it make sense to me, because it doesn't. Oh my gosh. So what's happening? Let's see. People don't want people to have abortions anymore, but yet they don't want to feed the babies. Nobody deserves to have homes, apparently.
Yeah.
How else is the world going to shit? Monkeypox is a thing.
Oh god, I don't even... Bro, the monkeypox news just makes me depressed because, like, we're not even over the first one. Like,
I know. People are trying to be like, the pandemic's over. Bitch, no, it's not.
It's so not.
It's not. But if y'all want to live in delusion at this point, I can't even blame you. It's been over 2 years.
Oh, I can still blame them 100%. 100%.
Put it this way, I don't agree with it, but I can empathize. Put it that way.
I mean, my problem is that a lot of the people who are pushing that, oh, the pandemic is over, has been doing it for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's bros like Dougie Ford who, like, are the people who are least likely to actually do anything to actually try to lessen the severity of the pandemic. You know?
Yeah.
But then we'll also still complain until, like, they get their way and nothing actually changes. I don't know. It's just very frustrating when it's, like, the people who are complaining the most are also trying to push people the most into the fire.
Of course. Because it's, like, this is going on. You should do something to fix it. Why don't you do something to fix it? Oh, well, I can't. Because of every other righteous fucking excuse that you can think of pulled out of their ass.
I mean, it's always just an excuse for people to hold on to their own money and power. That's really what it really comes down to. And it's like, here, like, if we're just gonna, this is just the crumbling of society episode, which I guess it is. I mean, it's like, one of the big problems I feel like nowadays is, like, who do we even trust to be an expert? Because there's so many people who are like, I was an expert political analyst who, like, showed their ass. There's so many people who are like, I'm an expert economist who shows their ass.
Bro.
There's so many people who are like, trust me, crypto will be great. And now crypto's crashing.
Oh,
and it's like,
gosh, yeah.
You know, and it's just like, who do you actually have out there to trust anymore to actually give you real good information? Like, it's so, it feels like everything is fake news now.
I mean, here's the thing. You have to trust yourself for sure.
But here's the thing. I trust myself enough to not trust myself on certain subjects.
For sure. Like, I will never sit around and be like, oh, I'm an expert in anything and everything. I'm open to learning. But this is what I'm saying. Trust yourself in terms of, like, searching for the information. Like, if you're finding something that shows you one way, okay, well, look into something that shows the other. You know, what proof do they have? What, you know, what receipts are there? What validates and backs it up? Because, I don't know, like, for example, random example I can think of. I went to the gym, and somebody told me, oh, you should use magnesium citrate. It's, like, kind of like a muscle relaxant. And I was like, oh, Like, I listened, but with a question mark in my head. And I was like, okay, well, thanks for the tip. I'll look into it. I didn't quite do my Googlings or whatnot, but I did see my massage therapist. And she's very holistic, and she's well-educated that I feel confident in the information she shares with me. So her and I were talking about just, like, different methodologies for just general healing, handling soreness. I asked her about kinesiology tape because it's a thing that I'm very curious about. And she gave me her 2 cents, but then she also suggested the same magnesium citrate. She's like, you know, use it as a cream or as a spray, and it helps because it's a muscle relaxant. And I was like, you know, somebody at the gym told me that, but I didn't want to believe them because they were a random stranger. But now that, you know, you with education and, like, as the expert, I can, you know, have more belief into that. And she kind of, like, laughed off. She's like, oh, well, thanks. So, like, you know, da 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 da. And she gave me her background about it. But again, that just, like, do your research, do your due diligence. Do I think you have to spend over 100 hours researching something before you're like, oh, I'm the expert? I don't think you need to, but I would like to think somebody would do their due diligence and be like, oh, well, let me see what, you know, a couple scientific studies say and certain, what are you doing, experts say before, you know, just listening to an article published by, like, Fox News, you know?
I mean, I feel like part of the problem is, like, that works with certain topics and it doesn't work with other topics. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely certain things where it's like, I'll give a good example, right? It's like, what's going on in China? You can't trust, like, anybody. You can't trust China to tell you what's going on in China. You can't trust any news media to tell you what's going on in China.
No, you trust the people. Don't trust.
But that's what I'm saying though. It's like, okay, trust the people, but how do I figure out what the people want? You know what I mean? Like, that's always the problem.
Go to Weibo. Check out Weibo.
Just start adding people.
Yeah, man. Because, like, again, but it goes to doing your due diligence, right? Because it's just kind of like you said, that's a very good example where it's like the government and the media and everything is heavily controlled by one force. Who can you really trust for accurate information? Because, like, they want to put out their own information, which may not always be accurate.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a very valid example. But we're thankfully not in China right now. But yeah. our Chinese visitors, our listeners, I should say, do your due diligence. If you're somehow listening to this through a firewall, shout outs to y'all, for real.
The advanced users.
Because I'm realizing y'all shouldn't be able to hear this. If you do, y'all are sick. I rate you guys. Be careful, please. But yeah, just do your due diligence. Do your due diligence. Don't believe everything is fact. Don't be afraid to question things and have your beliefs questioned. Because I also feel like that's also another thing. Like, when somebody's beliefs are questioned, they take super offense. And my whole thing is, if you can't back it up with your chest, then at least be humble and listen to what the other person has to say, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, and remember to buy a house. That's what the episode is about.
I mean, okay, here's my one tip. Here's my one tip to put you guys on the hopefully a decent road to buy a house. If you are a Canadian, sorry, US, sorry, guys. I'm not sure if this could apply to the US. So I have to say, as a Canadian, if you are a first-time house buyer and you're trying to save money, you can put your money in your RRSP that usually is matched by your employer. When you get to a certain amount that could perhaps cover a down payment on a home, you are allowed a one-time pass to pull out the money from your RRSP if it's going towards a down payment on a home. And you will get, like, a whole bunch of tax breaks, as well as the tax incentive you get, like the first time home buyer's credit, which can help you, like, you know, turn around, I think, like, get like an extra like $10,000 to $15,000 in tax breaks.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my one tip. It's actually from a registered accountant. He taught me this. But yeah, it's only for people who have never purchased a house before. So, you know, two birds, one stone. If you want your job to help you pay towards your home, contribute regularly to your RRSP, have your employer match it so that you can get to a certain amount after a number of years. Hopefully it will be enough to put towards a down payment. Or if you're saving in a different type of account, whether it's TSFA, 90 days before you purchase your home, move it to your RRSP and then pull it out to put onto your house. That actually works too. But there needs to be at least 90 days between your contribution and your purchase for it to actually be valid. So, but with that being said, that's not formal financial advice, and I am not a certified accountant. I would suggest that you go see your favorite accountant, your local tax accountant for further details, and or go on the Government of Canada website for further details. Please don't sue me.
Yeah.
That's how I know it to be.
This is not financial advice, and I am not an accountant.
Exactly.
I'm just a black girl.
It is, and this is Black Girl Podcast. Yeah. I'm your host, Lola. I'm joined by the lovely Mister. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at This Black Girl Podcast or on Twitter at This Black Girl P. Thank you guys for 2,000 streams, by the way. We've surpassed 2,000 streams, which is amazing because, what was it, like a year ago? We were barely past 500.
Yeah.
Now we're already at 2,000. That's amazing. I appreciate every one of you guys that tune in every week to hear me ramble. And I hope you still keep coming. But with that being said, have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.